welcome to episode 4 of the Ground to Sound podcast. Remember, please subscribe, rate, and review. You can also follow the podcast on Instagram at the Ground to Sound Pod. So this episode was a fun one to record. It was the first one I had recorded, so it was a bit of a test run. My wife, who is the founder of Enlightenhood, hosts two podcasts, the Enlightenhood podcast and a podcast called Soul Lift. So she's a pro. She helped me out with all of this. We had some fun talking about coffee, talking about music, and she talks about how she came up with the idea of starting her company. As a leading voice in spiritual motherhood, Enlightenhood supports women committed to stepping into their best self to find self-love, reclaim their power, and expand their consciousness. Through its grounded education and contemporary approach to spirituality, Enlightenhood empowers the growth of every mother worldwide, and, as a beautiful ripple effect, all those who interact with her on a daily basis. And it's been so awesome to see from my perspective, to see her really go out there and have all these great conversations. If you or someone you know is interested in wanting to create a different motherhood narrative, then Enlightenhood is the place for you. So please enjoy this episode with my lovely wife, Lena Lemos. Yeah, that's why the camera's down
there. What are you seeing? So here is where you do the...
And we're good. We're going. We're rolling. Okay. So I guess I should start, even though I feel like I know this answer, but I want to hear it from you. I want to see what you think. How do you take your coffee in the morning?
Well, it's funny because I think the answer, I don't know, before we were kind of sheltering in place with quarantine, I would have said any day of the year, whether it be 100 degrees or 0 degrees, I would have had like iced coffee with a splash of almond milk, oat milk, whatever. But for some reason now, just that really nice warm cup of coffee in the morning has been something so comforting. So I would say, I don't know. I've been really into hot cups of coffee recently, but it's more like the homemade. I don't think I could like get it in a Starbucks cup because something about hot coffee in that sense is just still bleh. Okay, so what I'm going to say is the actual answer is most likely just iced coffee with a splash of dairy-free milk.
Yeah, when
and that was a real...
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that was a real roundabout way to just give you the same answer that I started with.
Right, so when not in quarantine. Yeah, I mean, we're usually, if we're out, it's definitely iced coffee. At home, I don't think we've perfected an iced coffee situation.
No.
At home. Mm-mm. I'd like to get more inventive with it, but I don't know. I mean, I get as inventive as I can with the Chemex, but in terms of cold brew and iced coffee, I'm not at that Starbucks level.
Yeah, I feel like to do iced coffee well, though, it takes time and you have to wait, and I don't have the patience because I just want it now. And you know, like with a cold brew, you have to like let it, whatever it does. And with iced coffee, I feel like you make it hot and then you wait for it to cool down.
Right, right. Yeah. And we've actually been drinking, well, this I guess comes more from you, but this superfood type coffee, which is...
Yes.
Which I'm is obsessed. New to... This particular coffee is new to both of us, but we've both been kind of messing around with putting these sort of, I don't know, superfood. Yeah. Into the coffee, and this specific coffee. So it's the one we have is layered mm-hmm. superfood, but where did you first, cause I think I heard about it first from you, was where did you first hear the whole lion's mane mushroom of this?
I feel like it came from a bunch of different ways, and it was kind of just like, okay, I need this now. One of them was just, I've been really into plant medicine and plants in general, and getting rid of chemicals in my body and really just relying on the wisdom and the healing properties of plants to supplement my life and livelihood. And so I think I was watching a video on YouTube of herbs that were just really for longevity and clarity and focus and intuition. And lion's mane was one of those things. And then I didn't realize that the Buddha tea we have, the mushroom blend, had lion's mane in it. But when I went on a Google rabbit hole of just lion's mane, and I think it was mud water was the first thing that came up, which is kind of like an adaptogenic. I don't think it's coffee. I think it's like mushrooms mixed with a bunch of other stuff, like superfoods and stuff. So that's where it really started. But I think another element to it was when we were on our matcha kick for a little bit and just looking right. for alternative mm-hmm. ways to have caffeine and that kind of comfort drink in the morning. So I think it was kind of a combination of those things.
Yeah, that probably happens with a lot of people where you get used to having that one thing in the morning and then you sort of branch out and test this thing out. And that's definitely when we were trying out matcha here and there. Uh-huh. And then I remember when that Instagram post came up or the Instagram ad came up and it was superfood, is it lion's mane? And then that's when I told you about it. And I was like, oh, may as well try it out. Now, the only thing about that one is that, you know, I do like to grind my own beans and that of course came ground. And I haven't bought ground coffee in a little while since I don't want to say I've been like a coffee snob, but I've just been more cautious, more, I don't even know what to say.
I'm laughing because have you ever said that out loud to anyone before? I like to grind my own beans because it just.
I don't think so, but I'm sure I'll be saying it a lot. No. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And that's where we've been with coffee really. And then besides that, the Cat and Cloud company that I've been ordering coffee beans from. Mm-hmm. But yeah, quarantine's definitely left us doing the homemade stuff and iced coffee from Starbucks here and there. But mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah. Although I prefer Dunkin's iced coffee over Starbucks.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. Yeah. But when I'm out and about, do I want to go to places?
No.
It just kind of mm-hmm. depends what's closest to us, I guess.
Starbucks will do, I guess. It's just.
Yeah. Bleh. So when you, so I know some of your stories about, you know, that have to do with coffee, but like, take me way back to itty bitty you before you knew what coffee even was. What was that? And I half know this, but maybe there's more you can tell me. What was coffee like growing up around your house? Was it there?
No, it was not there at all. So neither of my parents, I think, have had a sip of coffee in their entire life. And so I think there's two very clear memories I have of coffee, and people listening to this are just going to laugh because they're so stupid. But I was always just drawn to the idea and just like almost the feeling around coffee and especially the smell of it. And I remember my mom works at Cornell University, and I remember like the building she works in, there's kind of like I don't know if it's underground. There's like a passageway to a dining hall. And on the way to that, there's like this little room of vending machines. And I always remember walking past them and there was a coffee one. And I begged her for so long to let me get a cup of coffee out of this vending machine. And finally she gave in. I was so excited. And I put like 75 cents or whatever to get my cup of coffee. And then we brought it back up to her office. I let it cool down and I took my sip, and it was the worst thing I have ever tried in my entire life. And I was like, oh, I couldn't understand why what I was smelling and just invoked such warm and happy feelings within my soul did not match the taste that was in my mouth. And then I think the second time was growing up, we used to have this gas station on the corner called Pit Stop. And it, well, you could get subs and sandwiches and chips there and maybe gas. I don't even remember, honestly. But they had one of those like cappuccino machines. And I remember begging my mom again to let me get a cappuccino. And she finally gave in. But again, it was just so bitter. And I remember having to pour like 10 creamers in there to like actually get it to taste good. But yeah, so that was really my first two coffee experiences. And I didn't really even start drinking coffee until I was in college, because then when I went to college, there was a Starbucks on campus. But even that, even then, like that coffee and probably for the next 3 years was just like disgusting caramel frappuccino. Like it wasn't coffee. It was just sugar that kind of tasted like coffee. I don't think it was till I like truly owned my role as a hipster kid in like 2012-ish, where coffee was more like a lifestyle and it was much, had much less sugar and was more like, look at me, I'm drinking iced coffee in a mason jar kind of a thing. So
yeah,
that's my coffee story.
Well, I feel like there's a lot of parallels with the way people are introduced to coffee and maybe the way, I don't know, a young teen might think of beer, for instance, or alcohol.
Yeah.
Their parents let them try that sip of alcohol and, oh my God, it's so gross. And then eventually it's, maybe they don't even like it, you know, when they're older at parties, whatever. Maybe they don't even love it, but their friends do it. They drink it. And then as you get older, maybe even in your 30s where I am now, it kind of becomes like, oh, well, if I am going to drink anything, I'm going to like the taste of it, you know, mm-hmm. And it kind of starts as like a social thing. Cause I mean, that's very similar to me, where when I first started drinking coffee, it was the sugary drinks and it was a very social thing. It wasn't like a everyday wake up, get that cup of coffee thing. It was just sort of social a few times a week, whatever. Then it became kind of out of necessity, which, you know, for you in college, or for me, I think I was at film school at the time when I think it became, you know, a necessity where I don't care if it's bitter. I don't care if it comes from this food truck over here, this little cafe down here, this place over here. Cause when I was in the city at the time, I was just drinking it because I needed to stay up.
Right.
Yeah. So, I can definitely see it being very much introduced in college, like the way you were saying.
For sure. I feel like that's when everyone just kind of really dives in and just leans into that coffee. It's really like the, not to be like really, I don't know the word for it, but just literally the uppers and the downers. Cause it's like, you need the coffee in the morning and the alcohol at night. And it's just like a constant vicious cycle.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I guess for my family, it's the coffee in the morning, coffee in the afternoon, then coffee at night.
Yeah. See, I didn't grow up that way. And I mean, you know, going to my parents' house, it's still like a struggle to get coffee in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, when you were in college and you started drinking Starbucks, did you connect it to like, oh, I have these papers due, I need to drink this coffee, or I have, you know, was it like that? Was it more social? Was it also out of necessity kind of,
you know, for you? It was kind of a combination of the two, because in my middle college years, I was working a lot in film and TV. So like you, it was kind of out of necessity. When I transferred to Ithaca College, I was much more like soulful and, again, like owning that hipster kid side of me. So I think coffee really became related to almost that like coffee shop indie vibe almost. Mm-hmm. Like it was part of this whole experience of having my laptop and my dark rimmed glasses and going to sit at a coffee shop and drink coffee and listening to the sounds of the beans being ground and the smells of the coffee. So it was much more like incorporated in that part of me. Mm-hmm. And so it was much more, it was less social and more just kind of part of my identity, I think, at that point. And I think that's really where it started to become where I think I became a lot more pretentious about it. Closeted pretentious, of course, but much less like in tune with where it was coming from, what kind of roast it was, not putting so much sugar in it, being able to actually taste it. And I think that's when I gradually, like, my coffee started to get darker and darker and darker.
Yeah. Now, did you have a sense of, you know, you had more of a creative lifestyle, you do photography, you know, you were, like you said, you were doing film. Was it something, is coffee something you think can really bring out creativity in people? You think it hinders it, it helps it? What do you think?
I think it brings it out in people. I mean, for my senior capstone class, when I was a senior in college, we had an assignment that every morning we had to get up and write for at least 10 minutes, just like whether it was garbage or whether it was amazing, we just had to write. So for me, I would get my like 32-ounce mason jar, fill it up with coffee, iced coffee, of course, and just sit and write. And it was the best writing of my life. And I think having that, I don't even know if it like really fuels our creativity or we just think it is, but either way, placebo effect is working in that way where it's kind of like, it's our energy, it's our passion, and we're like consuming it and therefore we're being more creative. But I think it definitely goes hand in hand with creativity just because it's like a, what's the word I'm looking for? It just like, it gives us that spark that we kind of need to perk up and to pay more attention and be more aware. And creativity really comes from that out of the box thinking. And if coffee is what wakes you up and gets your head out of that space of like womp womp tired dark cloud, then I think it absolutely contributes to creativity.
Yeah. I think there's definitely like for me, for a lot of people, there's definitely like a sense of urgency almost. I know if I want to get something done, whether it is writing some sort of paper or doing something, it definitely kind of puts me to work for sure. And then that will, that'll turn into just me drinking too much coffee and doing chores around the house like crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, I think helps. There's a limit.
Yeah, whatever helps. Is there, like when you first walk into a coffee shop, what's like that perfect song you'd want to be hearing? If you're walking into that perfect shop where it looks just the way you want it to and it smells just the way you want it to, but what does it sound like?
Definitely like Thelonious Monk or Chick Corea or like an Amos Lee vibe maybe. I'm definitely like a jazz and coffee all the way, or just like folky, like really sad songs and coffee.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good. Some jazz stuff. I know you have that playing while you're doing your chores around here. So I feel like I don't hear much jazz when I'm going into coffee shops. That's the thing. You go to like Spotify and you go to coffee shop playlist and it all really is that folky acoustic stuff, which is great. But then, you know, I have a feeling that the more I do this, the more I talk to people, they're going to tell me other types of music, like different types of music. Well,
Spotify has a really good, I think it's called Coffee Shop Jazz Vibes playlist. That's like jazz meets like new age electronica, like poetry mixed with like nature sounds mixed with jazz mix. It's like really cool. So I think maybe something like that too, that's not so like blatantly jazz, but it has a little more like flavor than your typical just acoustic coffee shop playlist.
Yeah. I think there's in certain types of jazz, there's like this busyness to it.
I love it.
Yeah. Well, you love it. I don't know. I'm not inside the mind of these coffee shop owners. Could be something that's distracting. Who knows?
I just know we don't want 80-year-old people to, their target market is younger, hipper people.
Yeah, depending where you go, for sure. Now, Maybe there's one I haven't heard, but any stories of, like, in your more recent life of maybe either a great coffee shop you've been to recently, where it is, when in your life you went to it, or something you experienced in a coffee shop.
I mean, again, I just love, if I could just be a person who sat in a coffee shop on my computer, just sipping coffee all day, I think that would be a great job for me. Not sure like what I would do, but so I think one that stands out to me the most is Black Fox in the city. I went there, when was it? Like in August. And it was just, it's down by Wall Street. And it was just like the cutest little coffee shop. And I mean, we don't really go to coffee shops anymore as new parents, so that's not really a thing. But that's the one I think that sticks out in my mind the most. And I really just always love Java Love in Montclair. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, for sure. They have those gluten-free vegan pastries.
So good. I like Rockin' Joe's in Caldwell too. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Anywhere where I can just get a good iced coffee with like dairy-free milk, because I feel like sometimes that's so hard to find in New Jersey. Like when I moved here, like, where is all of your almond milk?
Yeah, I'm more and more surprised every time I show up and they don't have more options.
Yeah.
They meaning, I mean, I don't remember last time it was, but somewhat recently, it's like, you just have milk. That's it.
Yep.
So when it comes to music and how you relate the two, and you're saying, okay, well, you'd love to hear jazz in a coffee shop. What was your music experience growing up?
I started to tell you all this and you're like, hold it for the podcast, because it's very, there's a lot. Because so I grew up singing in the church. I was in the church choir from the age of, I don't know, 6 or 7. And then I was also in a professional children's choir. So I was classically trained in music, but then I was also a musical theater nerd and was in professional theater company. But then my dad is just like the biggest Yes fan that there ever was. So grew up listening to Yes and Fleetwood Mac and Steely Dan and the Beatles. And, but I mean, I don't know. He was also very, I don't know if the right word is accepting of, you know, the pop music of the late 90s, early 2000s that I was also listening to. I remember he used to make me tapes of like, one side was NSYNC and the other side was Britney Spears. And I'd take them with my little tape player on field trips. So I feel like it was really a mix of everything. I think if I had to like pick a genre and a soundtrack for my life and what I wish would be like the soundtrack for my life, it'd probably be musical theater mixed with like a little bit of jazz. But it's so hard because, I mean, there's so many different influences in terms of music. And then my grandpa would always sing, you know, the classic Americana songs. And so my mom always sings those too. And then I feel like I went from like liking pop to like liking the emo kid stuff of the early 2000s and like Cartel and Boys Like Girls and... I'm totally blanking on Panic at the Disco and all that stuff. And then I feel like college was more like Death Cab for Cutie and Postal Service and Imogen Heap. And I don't think jazz really became more part of my life, I think, in my later college years. And when I moved to New Jersey and I kind of had my independence in terms of listening to music. And then I was actually thinking about this recently that I feel like I don't listen to as much of my own stuff when we started dating, because you were so confident in what you wanted to listen to and what you were interested in listening to. And I was okay with all of it. So I was like, sure. So when I can get my few moments of like blasting, you know, Broadway in the car. That works for me, but I'm, you know, I love it all. I'm into it all. So I'm not picky and just happy to have music around in general.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that, and I'm like, well, what, you know, I'll give you the aux cord once in a while. I don't know, I felt bad, like I was controlling the music, but no, you've definitely.
I feel like you look so bored if I put on stuff I like. I'm like, well, this isn't fun anymore, because I feel like when I was growing up, my sister and I would just, we would always just have the playlist that we would listen to in the car, where every single song was a song you could sing to, was a song you could harmonize with. And so she was always the lower part, I did the higher part. And it was just like, that's how life was. And then you now being my car buddy and my music listening buddy, that just not a thing. And so when you weren't into it, I'm like, this isn't fun anymore. So we might as well just like listen to what you want to listen to.
Wow, not fun anymore. Okay.
I mean, learn some harmony and then we can talk.
You definitely, though, I mean, things have definitely changed from the beginning, because you introduced me to the more musical theater stuff that I wasn't listening to and never really paid much attention to. So, you know, it's changed.
True. I honor your acceptance. I mean, we've seen, what, 3 Broadway plays now?
Have we really?
We saw Wicked, Spider-Man the Musical.
Spider-Man.
And Dear Evan Hansen, original cast, which was like the best Christmas present ever.
Yeah. And then soon?
Hamilton.
That's
which,
right.
Original cast, which not really, because it's coming on Disney Plus, but I'm going to count it as that.
Yeah. Yeah, why not? Who cares? No one's going to know the difference. So I do want to definitely give you time to talk about Enlightenhood and what you're doing with Enlightenhood, because I think that's really cool and really important. And it's just another space for you to talk about it. If anyone's listening and does not know what it is, yeah, go ahead.
No pressure or anything. I thought I was like having a break from having to talk about that for a day. So I started Enlightenhood 4 weeks postpartum after our daughter was born over a year ago, for a few reasons, mainly because I felt completely undersupported in my maternal health journey, being that before she was born, after she was born, and I also I've always been into mindfulness. I think, when did it start? Like what year was it? Like 2016, when I really started meditating and being more into like mindfulness. And I saw the benefits it had in my general just state of mind, my view on the world, kind of my sense of self. And do you remember when I had the idea for a subscription box that was mindfulness activities for families?
Yes, definitely.
So I think that was the start of it, because like I saw the benefit it could have in your life, but we weren't parents. I'm like, who am I to tell someone else how to raise their kid?
Was that the night I got up out of bed and said, oh my God, this is such a good idea?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So I think that was the spark of it. And I think another spark was when my grandma died and I ended up giving the eulogy, and I kind of just really had this come to Jesus moment, like, holy shit, I have been living as this really muted version of myself for a long time. And I think a lot of it was because, I mean, we met when I was in grad school and I kind of had a weird life here already. And so much of my life became your life. And so I didn't really have my own life, if that makes sense. And I really was, I mean, when you're a complete stranger in a complete strange state, you kind of have to adapt. And part of that adapting is kind of going with the flow and not wanting to say anything or do anything that would cause you to be unliked. Because I mean, the part of the human experience is wanting to be liked and accepted. So I think it's really easy a lot of times for us to lose ourselves in those types of situations. So when my grandma passed away and I gave her eulogy, it kind of went back to like the musical theater that I had lost within me, that like the performance, this sounds terrible, but the performance that I gave when I gave her eulogy was just like, it almost reignited this spark in me. Cause it was almost like, again, this sounds terrible, but it was like the best stand-up comedy routine of my life.
Like when you're saying,
right?
It sounds terrible, because anytime you have to go up and speak in front of people, whether it's because of something, so, you know, under those circumstances, it could be
right.
Whatever it is, there is, you know, and if you're not used to it, it's not something you do every day. There is a sense of, you know, I have to be able to get through this. And there is, yes, I know what you mean. There's a sense of performance to it. It's not.
Yeah. But it was more just like saying that it was a comedy routine when I was literally standing in front of my grandma's casket, you know, but like she would have appreciated all my jokes and they were specifically in there for her benefit, you know? Mm-hmm. But again, it was just this, like, there was this performer in me, this exuberant life within me, this person who could stand up on a stage and do stand-up comedy, that because of, like, you know, the emotional baggage of my teenage years and my early 20s kind of got lost. And I've always been good at public speaking. I've always been able to kind of project my voice and stand up in front of people and talk, but it always comes with like me blacking out and having no idea what I said. And just like always that thought of, oh, I could have done better and I could have done this and I could have done that. But it was really that giving that eulogy that was like, I did it. And it almost just restored my confidence in myself and where I was going with this. There was just like a really long tangent about stand-up comedy at a funeral, is that it really made me realize, holy shit. Like, I think around that time we had decided that we wanted to start trying to have a family. And I was like, if I'm going to be a mom and I'm not living as the most authentic version of myself, how do I expect my daughter to do the same? Well, we didn't know it was a daughter at the time, right? But like, how do I expect my yeah. future kids to like, how can I give them that space if I'm not doing it myself and leading by example? So it really set me on this journey of doing a lot of introspection and a lot of looking at where I wasn't showing up in myself, where I had a lot of wounds to heal, where I was still carrying a lot of emotional baggage. And so that started kind of another spark. And I started writing this book called Mindful Nesting that was kind of just documenting all that. But then when I got pregnant, I was just so sick and it kind of just all went on the back burner because I couldn't function. And it wasn't until my third trimester where I don't know if you remember the day when I came downstairs and like told you the download I got for the name Enlightenedhood.
I remember you telling me the name.
Yeah. So I was just like sitting on the bed and it just came to me. I was like, oh, that's good. And I came downstairs and I told you like, oh, that's good. But again, I had no idea what it was going to be. I just knew that I was at this crossroads and I wanted to live my life more intentionally. I wanted to have a career and do something in the world that was also aligned with the way that I wanted to live my life. And so I bought the domain name for Enlightenedhood and still had no idea what it was going to be. And I just went back and forth of, is it my own blog? Like, who the hell cares what I have to say? And then after Luna was born, I just had this idea of, look, I feel so alone. I feel like no one else is going through this experience. I feel like no one else is acknowledging this huge internal shift that happened becoming a mother, because we talk so much about the celebration and the birth of our kids who are born, but I don't think we ever really acknowledge that version of the mother who is reborn. So Enlightenedhood very much just became me asking other moms around the world, like, how are you doing this? Why is no one talking about this? How are you having a mindfulness practice while being a mom. Did you have a spiritual awakening as a new mom too? Okay, cool. Not just me. And so it really just was apparent very fast that this was a much needed conversation that wasn't happening. I started with a podcast and just a really simple website that was kind of just questionnaires from other moms. And within I don't know the exact numbers because the numbers aren't important, but I think within a year, its content has reached 95 countries. Wow. Yeah. So in a whole now, Enlightenedhood is a company that nurtures the mind, body, and soul of the mother through spirituality and mindfulness. I have a business partner, Megan, and she is a certified mindfulness and yoga instructor. So we have courses and content on how to find more peace, how to reclaim your power and your identity as a mother, and really just that true acknowledgement that there is this whole new version of you. And when we show up for our kids and we're living to create this new world for our kids, like everything changes. And I think as spirituality and mindfulness become less stigmatized, it's going to really help shape our world. Because I think as mothers, we have such a unique power where we're the ones who get to decide, oh, hey, all those generations of, I mean, racism is a huge thing that's going on right now, of that, of trauma, of mistrust, of addiction, of mental health issues, of all these unhealthy behavior patterns. We're the ones who get to decide that that stops with us. We stop the cycle. We learn, we grow, we heal, and then we get to pass that down to our kids. So they're learning it from day one. They have all these amazing tools to be aligned in their body and lead with light and be grateful and mindful and intentional. And then they're going to be leaders in the world and kind of creating this new version and this new earth and reality that we live in. So that's really our mission. We also just have a community of spiritual mothers, and it's just a great place to connect with like-minded women. Oh my God, I can't talk. With like-minded women. with like-minded women, because I think, unfortunately, motherhood in general and spirituality is very triggering to many people. So it's not for everybody, but it's definitely changed my life. It's changed who I am. It's changed the way I show up in the world. And I don't know if that really described what it is, but
no, it did. It did. And I know that there are plenty of women out there who are super grateful that you started that conversation. And, you know, just being in my position, watching it grow the way that it has been really cool. And anyone out there who hasn't heard the podcast, definitely check the podcast out. It's the Enlightenedhood podcast. Yes.
We have two, actually.
That's right. So, you have the new one, yeah.
Yeah. So Enlightenedhood was originally me asking mothers how they're doing it. And so it was a lot of it was motherhood stories. And then it kind of got more woo and me wanting to learn more of the things. Because I feel like Enlightenedhood is very much parallel to my own growth. And then we started in April this anthology of global motherhood stories called Soul Lift that very much went back to the roots of how I started it a year ago, with the idea that when you can hear someone else's story that validates and empowers your own, and a light bulb kind of goes off that, oh, wait, it's not just me. I'm not the only one. Your soul is uplifted. So it's kind of like Chicken Soup for the Soul meets Mindful and Spiritual Motherhood Stories. So we just have a collection on our website and a podcast that's just strictly women sharing their stories in hopes that we can change this conversation and make maternal mental health and mindfulness and spirituality and everything in between much more discussed and supported and authentically just present in the world.
Yeah, and while you're out there changing the conversation and changing the world and the way women talk about parenthood, I'm sitting here talking about music and coffee. So
good job.
if it wasn't for you starting that podcast and having this equipment, I wouldn't be down here, right?
That's true. That's true. I miss my microphone.
Yeah, that's okay. You'll get it back. we'll probably need a new one. So we'll see how these things
go. What, the gaff tape on it isn't doing its job?
No, it's doing the job. It's doing the job. It's good for now. Well, thank you so much for doing this, helping me practice. It's sort of a practice, but it's also the real deal.
Yes. Don't tell anyone you're practicing. They don't know.
Oh, well, now everybody knows. That's okay. We hope our baby stays asleep the whole night tonight.
Yeah.
And yeah.
My stomach just made a weird noise.
That's our time then to go. All right. Thank you. And I'll see you in 30 seconds.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.